Welcome to the Life is Relationships podcast, where we share biblical truths about marriage, parenting, and discipleship. The desire of CTCI is to see individuals and families restored in their relationship to the Father and for them to be empowered to have thriving, godly relationships that impact the communities around them. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Today we have Seth and Alicia Williams joining us. And hey, welcome guys. How are you guys doing?
Hey, doing thanks, well. AJ. Doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Exactly. Thanks. It is Thanksgiving week. Gosh, it's gone by super fast, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like this year has just blitzed through. It's definitely been very, very busy with a lot of growth, a lot of change for everybody. And so with it being Thanksgiving, I know that many of us are really excited about spending time with family and enjoying all the holiday food favorites and activities, taking a short break from work to rest. And my first question to you guys today is, what is your favorite Thanksgiving dish that is a must-have at your Thanksgiving feast?
I would say mine is, and I can jump all over this, it's collards with smoked turkey. So instead of using like a ham hock or something, I've been subbing out and using smoked turkey leg.
I can't say that I've ever had that.
Yeah. Well,
that sounds pretty good.
We're gonna have to invite you over for Thanksgiving, then, buddy.
Oh, maybe I'll have to make a pass through for Thanksgiving. Yeah. I don't know. I won't make it this year. I definitely got some big family plans, but maybe next year I'll pass through on my way back from Charlotte.
I make it off Thanksgiving too. I'll make it any time of year.
Yeah,
always.
Yeah, it is pretty good. I think my favorite historically is my grandmama's green beans. And there was nothing real fancy about them, literally.
Or healthy.
It was canned green beans, like simmered all day.
Yeah.
With this big old piece of pork.
Yeah.
They would simmer for hours and hours and hours. And literally, growing up, you would go get your piece of pie at the end of the meal, but then after that, you would go get seconds and thirds and fourths and fifths of grandmama's green beans.
Yeah.
Because they were so good, and that's probably the dish closest to my heart.
Oh man, I love that. I think for me, the one that is always a must have is my grandma makes this stuff called pumpkin crisp. Ooh. Nothing healthy about it at all. You've got pumpkin pie filling, you've got pecans, you've got yellow cake mix, you've got like three sticks of butter, and then it's just all goes together. And then of course, you got to top it with Cool Whip.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
All the time.
Can we get that recipe, please?
Of course, yeah. I'm happy to share it.
Yeah, let her eat it.
It brings much joy to our family.
I won't let him eat it. I'll eat it.
Nice. So kind of along the same vein, do you guys have any Thanksgiving traditions that you look forward to every year?
Well, I feel like every Thanksgiving looks a little different, honestly. There are certain things that stay the same. You know, we really try to stay together. I always used to love watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. That was kind of like a fun thing that as a kid, you know. And then when I became a parent, I was like, oh, it'd be so fun. It's changed up a little bit. It's not what it used to be.
Right.
I don't even know. Kids are super wanting to watch.
It's no Miracle on 34th Street anymore.
It ain't. It really ain't. So
it's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think like everybody, some good food and some football and
I think just families coming together and that even the history of, I mean, we're so separated in life and in our culture that just to see coming together, even here we are quasi post COVID and just wanting to be together with family members you haven't seen all year. So like Alicia said, it's different every year, but there's some of the same elements. It's food, it's fellowship, it's returning our hearts to Thanksgiving, which should be a daily thing, but I think it's just those recipes in there. You know, the nostalgic things we eat, you know, all the things that we're doing with our families, and football.
And there's always a game or two or a puzzle thrown in there.
Right.
It's like the holidays
Can you
have
guess
begun.
Who does the puzzle and who watches the
Pull
game?
Out the 1,500 piece puzzle. It's time.
Nice.
No, thanks.
And the great thing is that you can watch the game and do the puzzle.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Nice. Yeah, I think Alicia, for me, along the same lines, growing up, the thing for my family was always getting up, doing like a brunch type thing, watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And like, it's even for me, because, you know, I like you said, things change over time. They change throughout the years. And, you know, I've moved around so much between, you know, just leaving and going to college and being in the military. And, you know, there were many holidays that I was away from family that was like the core thing that I always kept. And so being able to do that, unfortunately, the number one thing that we always got were, there were these rolls from Sister Schubert's that had these little tiny sausages in them that
pigs in blankets,
kind of, but it was like, we would get them specifically at this time of year, and they've discontinued them. So it's like just so heart-wrenching. It's not the end of the
world. Start your own company, AJ.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. Our family, when they canceled it, not canceled it, but when they discontinued them, we ended up, you know, trying to dig around and find, okay, yeah, what's an alternative that, yeah, we can do? And so, but yeah, doing that, there was always football, playing football, and, you know, kind of depending on which side of the family we were with,
yeah,
there was always something going on. There's always a big hub of family just doing their thing and catching up and laughing and having a good time. Mm-hmm. And I know that we're talking about a lot of the really great stuff related to this time of year, but we know that oftentimes this time of year can be stressful for a lot of people with travel, family dynamics, or even financially. And how can we maintain a heart centered on giving thanks and focus on what this season is really about this year?
I think one way is to not get caught up in the noise and the same thing we think about with Christmas. There's a lot of travel, a lot of, where you're looking at giving gifts and you're getting caught up in this, that, and the other. And I think it's just really making a pointed effort, an intentional effort to get out of the noise and into, what is this season about? What could this season be about as believers? You know, giving thanks is an important and essential part of our walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's just an outward expression of that once a year. But imagine if we have a year-round inner expression to the Lord and to others, what that once a year could look like. And so I think it's just, for me, I have to get away from media. I know when I'm on overload technologically or whatever, you know, screen times and that, I just got to push the noise aside. That's important for me. And I think just to focus on and prepare our hearts for family coming. You know, prepare it in prayer, prepare it in like, Lord, I want to see, Lord, I'm expecting you to do a thing of joy, of thanksgiving. May we honor you in our fellowshipping time and our, yeah, I just think it's a preparation of individuals' hearts and families' hearts.
Mm-hmm. And I think with holidays, as you get older and more mature, you're required to really let go in a lot of ways of expectations and find a healthy place. I think for those who might have had kind of a standard set in their younger years, like, oh, Thanksgiving has to look this way. It has to be with Meemaw, or it has, yeah, to be with Grandpa, or it has to be with so-and-so, or it has to look a certain way, or we have to, you know, my kids can't miss out on this, or we put a lot of have-tos into those moments that really don't have to be there. And one of the wonderful surprises in growing up and maturing and getting through the seasons, like you said, where you've traveled, where somebody may be stationed overseas, someone may be on the mission field and not surrounded by, you know, other people celebrating Thanksgiving. Who knows? You may not be able to afford flying across the country to see your family, you know? So going back to the Father and just saying, well, what's it supposed to be this year? You know, I know you have good gifts for me in this. And, you know, you don't have to have Grandmama's green beans. You really don't. You don't have to have Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade the way it used to be. You know, God's got good gifts for you this year, you know, even if it looks really different. So embracing, you know, God, even if I don't get this or I don't get that, I have so much to be thankful for. I can be thankful for you. I can be thankful for, you know, for the legacy that I have anyway, for the wealth that I get to enjoy in all different forms.
It's good, man.
Preach. It's good. Yeah, I love what you guys are saying about how we have to manage our expectations, how we have to really be open-handed with that and be willing to hear what the Lord has for us in this year and at this time. And then, Seth, what you were talking about regarding how can we make this a year-round thing that then makes this particular holiday that much more special, where it's almost like we've prepared the year to reach this point of Thanksgiving, of a legitimate, for lack of better terms, it's almost like a marker, like a monument, at, you know, like a waypoint throughout the year where we get to look back on everything that the Lord has done in this last year.
Yeah.
And so, because this time of year is often really reflective,
yeah,
looking at the good and the bad. And so how can this year, what are a couple of things that people could do to shift their focus from looking inward at what they've gone through in this year, what they've experienced, and shift that focus into looking outwards and giving back to others in this holiday season out of that point of gratefulness and thankfulness?
It's a good question, AJ. I think a lot of that can be our outlook and seeing the Lord and how he has moved in our lives throughout the year, regardless of pain, tragedy, you know, people around us we've lost, all those things can keep us in a place of saying, well, I have nothing to be grateful for. But I don't think that's true. I even in my darkest times, even when I can be down or struggle with, you know, feeling low and depressed at times, what lifts me out of that pit, you know, that Psalm 40 pit, is I start to turn my thoughts, taking that thought captive and turning it to, what has he done? Let me pause. Let me reflect. Let me meditate and think about what the Lord has done. And it starts changing my heart's position. And I start to see that, no. I am extremely blessed when I think I have a wife sitting across from me right now, like Alicia. If I have nothing else, I say this a lot here at the end, but guys, if the Lord doesn't do one more thing for us, and this is taken out of a Passover section, right? It would have been sufficient. You know, all the things of, if the Lord would have just, you know, done this at the Red Sea, it would have been sufficient. And I think that motivates me and my gratitude, my thanksgiving, is if he chooses not to do another good thing for me, if I have experienced wave after wave and it crushes me and I'm on the brink of breaking, can I find a way to give him thanks through it? Is there a way? And I believe there is, and that's at my lowest point. And I get there from time to time. I get, you know, I'm hitting with those waves. I find a way to crawl up and say, God, you have done these things. And I repeat it back to him. And I go in a place of gratitude. I look at my wife. I look at my kids. And we've had death. We've had pain. We've had challenges. But I look at what he has done, and my heart shifts. Just like the Psalms. It's throughout the Psalms. It's what makes us gravitate and love, and we can relate to David's cry often in the Psalms.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, remember that the Lord includes everyone at the table, and we should too, you know. So it's a great opportunity. You talk about looking outward and not just inward. It's a good moment to invite those who are alone, mm-hmm, to come, yeah, and give them some family, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and I also want to add in one thing about reflection, because you mentioned that, AJ, about it's a season that we reflect on the year. You know, I have noticed a trend in social media and even in believers in the last 2 to 3 years. I think it started really a lot at the end of 2020, you know, COVID year. There was a lot of upheaval that year. And we tend at the end of the year like that to say, oh, 2020 was a bust, you know. Thank goodness we're getting out of 2020. We're getting into 2021. And then at the end of 21, I heard people saying the same thing. Like, what a terrible year, you know? What? We have such a fleshly tendency to just look at the circumstances on the surface. But what was God doing in 2020?
That's right. That's
wow, good. He was doing a lot. He was doing a lot. Let's not dismiss. Let's not be so shallow as to say, oh, well, glad that year's over. Nothing good happened that year. God was moving.
That's right.
You know, The kingdom was still advancing in 2020 and 2021 as it has in 2022. And so ask the Lord to give you eyes to see what he's really doing behind the scenes. There'll be much to be thankful for.
Amen.
Yeah. Gosh, I love everything you guys are talking about. What you were talking about, Williams, it reminded me of the song by Shane and Shane, "Though You Slay Me," that's based out of Job 13. And just the lyrics and the verses that are, "Though you slay me, yet I will praise you." Yeah. And being in that place of like just stirring ourselves up to say, God, it doesn't matter what my perception or my experiences were this year, you are still good and you are still kind, and I'm going to continue to praise you.
That's right.
And so, and I think that when we intentionally end up in that place of thanksgiving, there is a natural overflow in our generosity and our compassion to others around us.
Yeah.
Well, there's one more question that I have on here that is not on your sheets.
Ooh.
But just a little sneak of just what's one thing that you guys are thankful for this year?
That's a hard question. A lot of things. Specifically to 2022.
Yeah. Like as you look back over this last year, what's one thing that you're just thankful
What's your
for?
One thing, AJ? Just kidding. You weren't ready for that question.
I'll let you buy some time. For me, I think it has been just there's been a lot of change. There's been a lot of change for me and for my wife, Amy, this year, and not just in our marriage, but in the relationships with those around us, with work, and just really finding contentment in exactly where the Lord has us. Mm-hmm. That's been a huge exercise. And it is turning around and going, thank you for what you are doing. I may not understand it. I may not get it. Mm-hmm. But thank you, because I know that you are good. You are always good and you are always kind. And so that's what I'm thankful for this year. Mm-hmm. I think it boils down to just the lessons of contentment through change.
That's good, AJ.
I'm thankful for my husband. I am very, and I think it all a lot, but I think I'm thankful that at the end of the day, there's peace. You know, it doesn't mean that we never disagree. It doesn't mean that there are moments of frustration. There are, you know, but we look at each other often and like, well, we're in this together, you know, if nothing else, you know, we might fail at this or we might not do well at that, but hey, we're in this together. And I'm thankful for the growth that I see both of us experiencing, you know.
Amen. I think that's the word I would use too, that I'm thankful for this year, just growth. You mentioned the verse out of Job, and this is a ministry based on the Father, on fatherhood and the father heart of God. And this year, I've tried to take some of the pruning. You know, John 15 talks about the pruning and what it's doing. It's working for good. And I think I've just tried to go in gratitude when those times happen, instead of taking it like an immature son, which I would have done, been just frustrated and like, why? Why?
But Dad!
Yeah. I want to go. Let me do this. Let me, you know. And it's I think I'm trying to receive, and as I do that, to be a better recipient of his correction. And as I do that, I understand, and I'm going deeper into the Father heart. And for that, I'm extremely grateful that, like you said, you know, he's kind, he's compassionate. Psalm 103:13 talks about the Lord is tender and compassionate, like a father, you know, for those who fear him. And I just think of, as I get to know the Father heart, the Father better, the triune God, he's drawing me closer into him. And I'm grateful that he's not, you know, through with me, done with me when I mess up. That's hard. We have this performance-based thing. So I'm so thankful that he's committed to me much more than I'm committed to him. That's covenant. So, yeah.
Well, guys, all that is so, so good. Thank you for just the reminder of where we have to have our, or where we should have our hearts postured in this Thanksgiving season. I hope that it is that it's just a wonderful week of Thanksgiving and rest for you guys and your families.
Thanks, AJ. Happy Thanksgiving. Good game.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next one, and we would love if you left us a review. For more information about CTCI and our upcoming programs, be sure to check out ctcilife.org. This podcast is a production of Christian Training Center International, and it is produced by AJ Selby and Seth Stradling.